There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? I trust the Lord will prepare our hearts for our time in this familiar portion of Scripture this morning. Let's ask Him to speak to our hearts, shall we? Thank you, Father, for the service this morning, the blessings of it. We thank you for this season and the reminders of the arrival of the greatest gift that has ever been given. When you sent your only begotten Son, born of woman and such a lowly beginning, and yet what a marvelous plan you had devised. And we think of our Savior's arrival into this world and his life and ultimately his completion of why you had sent your Son into this world. We thank you that he was sent to save his people from their sins. I pray as we look at this familiar portion of Scripture today, I pray it's not perhaps a Christmas portion, and yet I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that your Spirit would fill me, guide me in what I say, do. May this portion of Scripture come alive. And if any are hearing it here in person or out over the internet, and hear the gospel in this message today, and realize that they are not saved, I pray that you would draw them unto yourself. I pray that you would speak to their hearts and they would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior. We thank you now for this time. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We know it's something that we often say in our conversation with one another. And we know it's things that we often hear if maybe we are watching TV and listening to a commercial. Many times we hear emphasis on the fact that this is something that you must have. Ever hear anybody talk about things like that? You must have this. And if you're not careful, if you're sitting there listening to them on that commercial, you're going to be feeling mighty low by the time that commercial is done, unless you get a grip on your thoughts there and realize, hey, this is just a sales ploy. Think clearly here, don't get carried away. But isn't it interesting how many things around us, to listen to the salesperson, they would qualify as, you must have this. You've got to have this. In a familiar story, we're going to find reference to something that we could call new and truthfully say everyone must have it. What are we talking about? New birth. Let's notice here Nicodemus's confession in verses 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nick's confession, what was it? For many people, we find here that their confession and what he said here, it is what constitutes their whole relationship to Christ. What was it that Nicodemus? There you go. I start calling him Nick, and I'll be calling about my grandson here. So we better talk about Nicodemus. Then we won't get mixed up. As we look at this, Nicodemus's confession, it kind of says it all, and it sums up their relationship. What is it that he said? He came to him by night, and he said, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. That's his first confession. We know, you ask someone, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Tell me, what is your understanding of Jesus? And it's quite common for people to just fire off the top of their head, well, he was a great teacher from God. True, yes or no? Mm-hmm. Certainly. Another statement that he said here. We also realize that you're a miracle worker. No man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him. Here again, if you would poll the average man or woman on the street, tell me, what do you know? What do you believe about Jesus? Well, he was a great teacher sent from God, and he was a miracle worker. He had the ability to perform miracles, and that had to come from God. Well, as we think of this, it's the Liberty Study Bible had an interesting little footnote along this declaration or confession of Nicodemus. Let me just read it. Nicodemus accepted Jesus as a teacher and a rabbi from God who worked miracles. But Jesus was not impressed with the depth of Nicodemus's belief or his understanding. The reason is many unbelievers still agree that Jesus was a great man. But that doesn't mean that they have accepted him and believed in him. You see, the truth is, even though we think of this declaration, that, well, you're a great teacher from God, and God's got to have given you some special ability here because of these miracles that you're doing. There's got to be something special about you. But Nicodemus was unsaved. He was unsaved. It's possible for unsaved people to recognize and realize that there was something different about the Lord. Just because they have recognized it and admitted it does not mean that they have accepted him as their own personal Savior. They're just speaking the truth. Yes, he was a special man. Yes, he did have special abilities. Yes, he could perform miracles. That doesn't make the proclaimer a Christian. As you're sitting here today, and I'm thinking, I'm wondering if anybody's, why is the pastor preaching in John chapter 3 today? Well, that's the gospel chapter. That's you know, if he's not careful, he's going to mess around and be preaching the gospel while he's up there. Well, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? It's true, and I trust the Lord will get the glory. If there's a shortage from this pulpit, I would be the first to admit it's the gospel, month after month, year after year. Not that we don't accept it, not that we don't believe it, but the fact that it's something that I know I and my ministry is weak on many times. And so today, let's notice in a gospel message the fact that here was a man who had recognized that there was something different about Jesus. Nicodemus had religion. He wasn't opposing the Lord. Why, actually, he was a leader in his religion. He was a ruler. He was a man of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews. He wasn't opposing the Lord. But his confession profession didn't make him a Christian. Just because he said, we know you come from God and you're a miracle worker. That didn't save you. And it's interesting, what I want to call your attention to is we're going to look at these verses in chapter 3 this morning. Jesus did not discuss what Nicodemus believed. We believe that you're a teacher come from God. Jesus didn't say, let's talk about that for a little bit. And he didn't say, well, you've noticed that I've done some miracles, huh? Let's talk about those miracles for a little bit. It's interesting to me that the Lord Jesus, we use a little phrase, let's cut to the chase, right? Jesus didn't talk about what Nicodemus had declared. We know you're someone special. And sure, the Lord could have talked to him about that, to tell him why he was special and where the miraculous power came from. But did you notice? Jesus did not discuss what Nicodemus believed, but he discussed with him what he lacked in verse 3. Jesus didn't say, let's talk about what you believe. He said, I want to talk about what you lack. You lack something. Jesus wasn't going to get caught up in some other conversation. He said, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I would have liked to have been there and witnessed this conversation, because somehow I think there had to be a funny look on Nicodemus' face when Jesus responded to him this way. Like, where did this topic come from? I just declared, I know that you come from God, you're a teacher from God, and you're a miracle worker. Where did this, right out of the blue, come from, that marvel not that I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? As we think of that, when Jesus suggested, here's what you lack, let's talk about what you lack. Nicodemus said unto him, and notice in verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born? Because Jesus said, you must be born again. Remember we started out and how the media and everybody is all often shoving things, you must have this. You must have that. And Jesus came right back to Nicodemus and he said, you must be born again. Here's something you must have. This is something which must be true in your life. Not optional. Not, well, I was going to get around to it. I kept thinking, one of these days I'm going to get around to it. That doesn't qualify. We're talking about the difference between life and death, heaven and hell, and it is all included in this topic that we have out on the table this morning, and that is this, is have you been born again? There's all the difference in the world. Well, we chuckle a little bit at Nicodemus. we chuckle, but I think we can understand, because when he heard those words, born again, he'd never heard that before. What does Jesus mean by born again? So he asked the question, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? As we think of Nicodemus's question, it's very clear, it's plain. As we look at this, Nicodemus was mistaken about what Christ meant. Nicodemus was a natural man. And to hear the term, you must be born again. Naturally, the only thing that Nicodemus could think of is, well, I was born once when I was a baby. And now he's saying, I've got to be born again. And so we kind of smile at Nicodemus' conversation with the Lord. How is it possible when he's old? Are you suggesting that somehow a man has to enter his mother's womb again and be born? How can that be? A grown man is so big. Well, Nicodemus was thinking on the natural realm, and the Lord Jesus was speaking on what realm? The supernatural or the spiritual realm. And there are two different realms. We see Christ's clarification number two. We've been looking at Nicodemus' confession, first of all, but we move on and we see, secondly, Christ's clarification in verses 4 through 8. Nicodemus asked the question, and we find in verses 5 through 8 especially, Jesus explains the specifics of the subject. Jesus took the time to answer Nicodemus. It's interesting. Notice our Lord didn't laugh at Nicodemus and say, be reasonable. You know, I'm not talking about that. Jesus never put down one when they would ask an honest question. Nicodemus didn't know what he meant by that. And Jesus did not laugh and scoff at him. But instead, Jesus very carefully took the time to begin to explain to him. And he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, verse 5, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Let's go back and look at these verses. Jesus said, Jesus was answering what he had stated in verse 3, and that was the necessity of this being born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so in verse 5, he says, okay, Nicodemus, you don't know what I mean, but here's what I mean. Except a man be born of water. What's that? baptism, right? Is he talking about baptism here? Is this what it means when he says, you got to have some water sprinkled on you? Come on. What are we talking about here except a man be born of water? What is that? Pardon?
Physical.
Physical. How many of you were born of water? You say, I don't know. I was. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. You were surrounded by it inside our mothers. That's what Jesus, he said, well, to be born again, first of all, you got to be born the first time. You look like you all qualify. You all qualify. Then he said, and of the Spirit he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, the first thing, there's got to be just natural life. And then he says, you have to be born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. What's that? We know what born of water is. But what about this born of the Spirit? He says that in verse 6, which is born of the flesh, or water is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So as we look at this, we realize that Jesus is telling this man in answer to his question, no, being born again has nothing to do with your mother, but it does have to do with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God must do a work in your life in order for you to be born again. How does that happen? How does that happen? It says, the wind bloweth in verse 8, where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. But you cannot tell where it comes from, and we know that's true, don't we? We can go outside, and we can listen to the wind in the trees and the leaves, and things like that. We hear it. And maybe at this instant, as you're looking outside, you say, it's coming from the northwest, and it's blowing from the northwest, which it would be blowing southeast that way then, wouldn't it? But how many of us can accurately predict? You know, in about 3 minutes, it's going to whirl around and it's going to switch from northwest to northeast for a minute and a half. And then it's going to go back to the northwest. Any of you ever tried to figure out where that wind comes from and which direction it's going to blow? That's exactly what the Lord is saying here. We can't. We don't know where it's going to come from. But, and he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And he said in verse 7, marvel not, I say unto you, again, Nicodemus, this is the second time I'm telling you this. You must be born again. You need the Spirit to do His work in your heart and in His life in order for you to enter into and see the kingdom of God. How does the Holy Spirit work? How many of us can predict? Well, here's how it's going to work. Here's how the Holy Spirit is going to work in Job's heart, or in Mary's heart. Can any of us accurately predict how God and His Holy Spirit is going to work in the heart of someone? We all know the answer to that, don't we? The Holy Spirit works in someone's heart just like the wind comes from a certain direction. We can't say, well, here's how it's going to work. I'll do this, this, and this, and the Holy Spirit's going to blow on so-and-so's heart. And so-and-so is going to get saved. We don't know that. We don't know where the Spirit is coming from. And that is the thing that makes it so special. You and I can't fabricate the Holy Spirit's work in someone's heart and life. If you haven't figured that out yet, let me just be honest with you. You know, we can't fabricate it. And the Lord said here, it's like the wind, Nicodemus. You've got to be born of water. You've got to be born of the Spirit. And whatever has been born of water, flesh, that's that realm. But when the Spirit does His work in the heart and comes upon someone and they realize their sinfulness and their need of the salvation that Jesus Christ came to provide for them, and they open their heart to the Spirit's work, and they accept what Christ has done in their behalf, they are born of the Spirit. Have you been? Have you ever been born of the Spirit? Say, Pastor, I kind of object to that. We had a son who grew up in our house, and he lived in that house 15, 16, 17, whatever it was, of the 20 years that he had claimed that he was a Christian, that he had been born by the Spirit. But he wasn't. I'm not asking if you have made a profession of faith. I'm asking, have you been born of the Spirit? Has the Lord made a difference in your life through the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit takes up residence in our life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold what? All things become new. Some things become new. What does the Scripture say? All things. things become new for those who are truly born of the Spirit. As we think about this, we see thirdly Nicodemus' question in verse 9. He said, how can these things be? How? You're talking about this spiritual birth. You're talking about the Spirit coming upon someone. In other words, how? Tell me, Lord, how? How can I be born again? How can this take place? And number four, Christ's explanation to him is found in verses 14 through 18. As we look at it, we're going to skip over verses 10 through 13 because Jesus just had a little conversation with him. He said, "What? You a teacher of the Jews and you don't know the answer to these questions? You don't know about this?" But we drop down to Christ's explanation. In these verses 14 through 18, the Lord Jesus gives the process for the new birth. In verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The background here in verses 14 and 15. And the background, Jesus here is cutting to the chase. And he is revealing to Nicodemus that it was going to be necessary for him to die to provide salvation. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, I too must be lifted up. He was making reference to his death on the cross. And he was saying, back there in that wilderness experience when people were being bitten by those poisonous serpents, the answer for their salvation, if we could use that term, was God told Moses, you build a brass serpent and you put it on that pole and you set it in the middle of the camp. And if Bill or Joe or Susie or Mary, whoever has been bitten by that poisonous snake, all they have to do is, by faith, look toward that brass serpent. And that will not be a fatal snake bite. They will not die. Salvation to those who would put their faith in that brass serpent when they were out there in the wilderness. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever by faith believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The background we see here. Some would question, does it work? How do I know? How do I know it's going to work if I look to the Lord with my life? If I put my faith in Jesus. Jesus said, here's how you can know that what I'm offering to you works. Just like in the wilderness, when someone was bitten by the snake, they looked, they lived. anyone who looks to the Lord in faith, to save them from their sin, to forgive them from their sin, and to give to them eternal life. If someone would put their faith and trust in what Christ did for them, do you know that it works? It works. As we think of the background in verses 14 and 15, the basis of Christ's work and his explanation is in verses 16 and 17. The basis, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world and send the world to hell. That's not why Christ came. But that the world, through Christ, might be saved. Well, isn't everybody going to be saved? No. Only those who have put their faith and trust in him and have been born again by the Spirit of God in their hearts. Have you? Say, Pastor, you're challenging us. You're aggravating people. Why do you keep asking? We had a son 20 years in our house before he finally realized and admitted that if he is my Lord and Savior, I won't be living my life like this. I need to be saved by the Spirit of God. What about you? I know what people claim, but what is going on within? And we find here the basis of it was God's love for mankind, not his wrath. The whole plan of God and work of Christ is about saving a lost world. It is not about sending people to hell. That's not why Christ came. He came to save you and me from our sins. And the situation here in verse 18, it boils down to this simple statement in this 18th verse. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is a very powerful verse. To the one who has put their faith and trust in the Lord as his or her own personal Savior, there is no condemnation. No condemnation to the one who believes. Let's suppose here's someone and they're saying, well, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to get to it someday. Fine. But I just want you to know, in God's eyes, you're already condemned. Because you haven't believed. And you stay in that state of condemnation until one day you put your faith and trust in the Lord. It's not that someday the unbeliever is going to be condemned. No. Present tense, right now, this day, this moment, every unbeliever is condemned already for their unbelief. For their unbelief. Today we've seen the truth about the new birth, and in the words of our Lord, He said, "You must be born again." People like to try to reform. Turn when you say, "Well, isn't that the same thing as being born again?" No. Reform, for many, they try to turn over a new leaf. They think, "Well, if I get a little religion, then I've been born again." Not necessarily so. Religion, resolutions for the new year. But Jesus said here the necessity for regeneration. You must be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit of God. Have you? Have you? And if you haven't, will you today? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this portion of your word. So familiar. We all know the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. Sometimes it's the familiar things that we really lose out on because we don't refresh ourselves and review them often enough. Thank you for the chance to, on this Sunday, take a look at what is essential for each and every one of our lives. Without the new birth, without being born again, no one will ever enter into the kingdom of God, ever enter into the presence of the Lord, ever go to heaven. Salvation is a must. And if there is someone here that's not certain, they're not sure, I pray, Lord, that you would stir their hearts, convict their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you might draw them to yourself. We thank you in your name.